Welcome to Meltdown to Mastery with Jane Marchiandi and Amy Stein. In a world where sensitivity is often misunderstood, Amy Stein is on a mission to redefine it as a strength. Together with me, Amy guides us on a transformative journey back to ourselves. Through her unique approach, she helps us tap into the innate intelligence of our bodies, with Mother Nature as our ultimate guide. Amy firmly believes that true harmony lies in syncing the mind, body, and spirit, and she empowers women to awaken their inner light and wisdom to achieve this alignment and create true health while manifesting a life unique to them. Join us as Amy shares her wisdom on reawakening intuition and embracing holistic healing, because true transformation occurs when we address the whole package. Welcome to Meltdown to Mastery with Jane Marchiandi and Amy Stein. Welcome to Meltdown to Mastery, empowering women to overcome midlife crisis by rewiring the subconscious mind. Feeling overwhelmed, disillusioned, stuck? We all have. Here we explore inspiration and empowerment to navigate through the tough times and move to a place where hearts soar, minds manifest, and bodies heal. Welcome, Amy.
Thanks, Jane. I'm happy to be here.
Excited to have you. And you know, I'm really passionate about this topic, about going inside and listening to your intuition, whether it's to manifest or heal. And you were through quite the journey with medical specialists and medical bills when you finally hit that inside button, turned it on, and chose to follow your intuition. So tell us about your story. And then, and now your passion's about energy medicine, mindset, the body's intuition, and how to heal back the layers. So we'll just let that flow.
Yeah. So my story is not unoriginal. It's not unique. It's most people's story. It's just not talked about, right? So most people are suffering in some way from either physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual disconnection. And that's because the way society is structured right now is to keep you separated from yourself, right? To always keep you looking outside of yourself for the answers. And so this idea of looking within, of thinking that you know better than somebody else who wears a lab coat, is such a foreign concept, and it seems really radical. And so working in Western medicine for years, being a researcher for almost two decades, I believed in the science, right? And so I feel like that terminology has become really confusing in the last few years, especially because what is actual modern day science is based upon science from thousands of ancient years of wisdom, which modern day science is only catching up to. But as someone who was working in Western medicine, working with chronic pain patients who are geriatrics, I was in my mid to late 20s and I began to resemble them. And I was like, what's going on here? This is not right. Like, my body is shutting down. I became bedridden. I had daily migraines, daily vertigo. I couldn't leave the house because I couldn't leave the bathroom. I couldn't eat any food. And I was reacting to everything. So I'd always been a sensitive kid and I was reacting to things as a child. But when my parents would take me to the doctor, I was told I was too sensitive. I needed to grow a thicker skin and, you know, like, buck up, buttercup. And that did not work. But what it did, which is what happens to a lot of people in this population, which is 20% called highly sensitive people, is it creates a different persona. Like, you actually disconnect from your intuition. You disconnect from what your body is trying to tell you because it's been shown to you that it's incorrect, that you're broken, that this is not the way to be. We want to fit in as a society. And so if all of these things are going on and I'm hyper aware of them, it's actually dangerous because people don't believe me. People don't trust what I'm saying. They don't see me. They don't hear me. And so this is a really hard lesson for kids to learn at a young age. So I learned this at like age 5. And a lot of people with highly sensitive traits do as well. And so it creates this dynamic in that you're always looking outside of yourself. You're always hyper aware of your surroundings, how your behavior is going to affect other people, how their behavior affects you, how all this is stimuli that you can't see is affecting you. And because in our society, we're taught that if you can't see it, it's not real, it doesn't exist. It again reaffirms this, that there's something wrong with you because nobody else sees these things. Nobody else hears these things. No one else feels them.
Yeah. And I love what you say about, you know, as a child, not seen, not heard, because that follows us into adulthood too, as a program, mm-hmm. right? And then, mm-hmm. yeah, we believe that we're not going to be seen or heard. And then the medical system doesn't. Mm-hmm. But so carry on.
Yeah. And so it's really disempowering. But again, in our society, you're taught, right, to look outside of yourself to another authority figure that they know better than you. And because your intuition is not giving that credence, as it has in past ancient societies, we're taught to always look to somebody else for the answers. And this is so apparent when you have chronic disease and chronic illness. You're looking to somebody else. You're desperate for a diagnosis. You're desperate for someone to fix you. You're desperate for the answers. And this is where Western medicine fails, because it's a standardized approach. And it's a sick care system, right? It benefits from you being sick. And so when you question the system like I did, you're labeled non-compliant. You're labeled a bad patient. You know, I was told numerous times by the doctors, you didn't go to medical school. No, but I can read a journal article. Have you read this article? You know, and it was this whole, it became this resistance of this fighting, that I was fighting my body. I was fighting the doctors. I had to prove something to everybody. And in this proving and in this fighting and resistance, I was actually zapping the energy that I needed to heal, because the body is designed to either heal or to fight. It can't do both, right? So if it's using the energy to fight, there's no energy left to heal. And so I was stuck on this merry-go-round to nowhere of doing what the doctor said, of getting sicker, knowing it didn't feel right to me, but I didn't know why, because I was so disconnected from my intuition. And I was so disconnected from my body, because it didn't feel safe to be in my physical body, because those messages that I felt from childhood, I was told they weren't true. They weren't real. That it was my body acting out. But that's not the case. I've now learned, you know, decades later, that that is not true. The body is on your side. The body is here to help you. And when you don't pay attention, the messages get louder, right? Your symptoms get louder. You have more migraines and have more reactions to food and chemicals and environmental stimuli. And so the body is trying to help you, but it's suffering. And it's in this paradigm of, it was designed to heal and balance. But in the modern day society that we live in, it is like being exposed to so many different things that cause such harm to the body that it can't deal with everything. So the highly sensitive person, they're the 20%, they're the canaries in the coal mine who experience everything first, right? So we're the ones with the chemical sensitivity. We're the ones that get the autoimmune disorders. We're the ones with the invisible illness that your lab work is quote unquote normal, but you know there's something wrong. And that's the body's trying to tell you, please pay attention here. But because we're not taught how the body works, we don't understand what to do.
Yeah, and we're programmed to run to someone with a white coat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. And so it sets us up for this situation of being disconnected to ourselves, being disconnected to the wisdom that exists within each and every one of us, and as well as being disconnected as a community. Because when you're told you're different, you're the outlier, you're the outsider, right? You're the black sheep, and you're identified that way. And it's like, you just want to fit in, and fitting in is a sign of safety. It's a sign of survival. And so you will become maladaptive to your surroundings. You will adapt in ways that are actually not beneficial for you physically, but you think, well, now I belong. So I'm going to have this different persona. I'm going to say these different things. I'm going to act this different way, even though it's in dissonance with who I really am. It's a form of survival. But this can only last for so long until your body begins to break down, because you're working against the healing mechanisms. And so for me, I was on this merry-go-round a little bit longer than I'd like to admit, probably 2.5 years, 3 years. And it was only because of that belief system of, there's something wrong with me. I'm broken. Someone else needs to fix me. I just need to find the right answers. And until I realized that this system was not actually serving me, that this belief was not mine, it was something that had been passed down upon me, which Bruce Lipton speaks about, you know, by age 7, you've inherited your beliefs either through your culture, your family, your schooling, your society, a combination of it. It's not even yours. They could be inherited from ancestors, right? But it doesn't mean they're true. but that's what you've been taught to believe. And so we hold on to this. We don't ever question if it's true or not until we're forced to do that, until we come to that place where we're at rock bottom. And unfortunately, I hit rock bottom a few times thinking I was at rock bottom, and I still had to travel a little bit further down until I finally realized that my body was on my side, that the messages coming from my body were speaking from wisdom, not from a place of being broken.
Right.
And that I had to quiet the outside noise.
Yes. So what were some of those messages for you?
Well, the messages mostly were stop listening to the doctors. You know, I would go, you go with your briefcase of labs and tests and notes and things, right? And you're like, desperation, maybe this doctor will know different. This doctor will make a difference. They'll figure it out. And the doctors would speak to me and I would just be like, no. Something inside of me would just say no. But I didn't want to listen to that because I was like, whoa, I didn't go to medical school. I haven't been able to figure the situation out. But then, as I say, the universe will offer you breadcrumbs. If you pay attention, there's always signs coming through, right? But we're not aware of them. We don't pay attention to them. Again, it's something that has been conditioned out of us. Mm-hmm. But I was at a really low point. I was kind of at the point where I said, you know what? I'm not going to do this thing anymore. I don't know what I'm going to do, but if it's my time and my body's ready to give up, like, I've made my peace with it. I don't have any regrets. I've done the best that I can. And my gram had just passed away shortly before this. And I was in a really hard place about it. It hit me really hard. And my parents were going through her stuff. And she had a bunch of these herb books. And my dad was like, hey, we were going through your gram's stuff. You know, we found some of these books about plants. Do you think you want them? And something inside me was like, take the books. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to take the books. And I began to read them. And what I discovered was that all these plants that were already growing on my property, many of them weeds, had actual medicinal benefits and were actually a lot of the plants that I needed to heal some of the conditions I was dealing with. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, this is fascinating to me that I've never learned this before. And as I began to go down that rabbit hole of exploring plant medicine, you know, becoming an herbalist, doing all of these research about this idea, I noticed that this idea had been around for thousands of years. And I was like, that's interesting. Like, obviously it's lasted this long because it works, but I still was not understanding the concept of mind, body, spirit medicine. I was still trying to do everything from my mind. And I call this manic healing, in that we're obsessed with trying to make everything logical. It needs to make sense. We need to wrap our head around it. We need to understand the how. We need to, you know, be 10 steps ahead of what's happening. And in doing this, you create this manic energy in that, again, you're still not in the body. You're still doing everything in the mind. You're still trying to figure it out. And it doesn't land where it needs to. And it's still that disconnection. And so then I was doing all the things with plant medicine. I was making my tinctures. I was, you know, eating my weeds. I was following the guidance from Mother Nature and living in connection with her cycles. And it's still, I was getting a little bit better, but I was still not where I thought I should be. And I didn't understand why that was. I didn't realize it was because I still didn't feel safe to be in the physical body. And this happens to a lot of people, especially if they have chronic pain or chronic disease, if they have childhood trauma. It's the way the body is designed to keep you safe, right? Again, it's only concerned with survival. So if you don't feel safe to be in the physical body, you're not going to be able to connect all parts of yourself for healing. You're not going to be able to understand how all the systems work together. You're going to just keep doing it in your mind because the body understands you don't yet have the skill set to deal with what happened, to deal with the undertaking that needs to occur. And then this led me to energy medicine and the idea that even if I couldn't see it, it's real. And that everything is energy. Everything that is in existence is energy, and that you can't destroy or create it, but you can change it. You can harness it into a healing frequency. So I began to go down that rabbit hole and I was like, oh, this is really interesting. But again, I still was not incorporating the spirit or the body with the mind. I was a little bit more into my body. You know, I did my energy medicine techniques. I did energy yoga. I could feel the difference, but it still was really uncomfortable for me to be in my physical body. And so I was still kind of struggling, like, what am I missing? What's wrong with me? Why is this not working? And I think this is a common trap that people fall into, is that they do all these different things, all these different protocols. They try all these different remedies and it still doesn't work. And then the desperation comes back of, why isn't this working? What's wrong with me, right? Rather than the idea of curiosity. And Dr. Kim Durama, who's an energy medicine practitioner, says this, what is right about this that I'm not getting? So what is right that I'm missing in this situation? Why am I still having migraines? Why am I still sensitive to these smells? What is right about this that I'm not getting? So it turns the whole judgment, blame, and shame on its head and allows for, maybe I could question what I always believed to be true and wonder, maybe it's not true. Maybe there's something I'm missing here. And this was really powerful for me because it was like, opened up so many avenues. And then I wasn't always prepared to do it. But at the same time, it allowed for a freedom of expression that I had not explored before. And that was really interesting to me. It also allowed me to be open to this idea of surrender. Because for me, surrender was a dirty word. It meant that I was quitting, I was giving up. Again, that there was something wrong with me. I couldn't do it. I was a failure. But it wasn't that. It was just asking for help from something that I couldn't necessarily see. And people who are betrayed in childhood, right, by the adult caregivers, by the doctors, have a really hard time trusting other people. And so we will be people pleasers. We will be codependent. We will do everything for everybody else. But it's really hard for us to trust ourselves to do that for ourselves. It's really hard to be that person that we can rely on. So we continue to betray ourselves, right? By being somebody else, by doing something for somebody else, by being that people pleaser, that codependent personality trait. But again, it's a survival mechanism. It's part of that protection that the body creates in order to keep you safe. And when we don't understand all these aspects, of course we can't heal. Of course we can't incorporate a mind, body, spirit aspect, technique, method into our healing, because it's such a foreign concept. It's something we're not taught. So the reason I do a lot of these talks and I talk about this so much is that people become more familiar with the idea. It becomes more commonplace for them to hear it. It's not such an outlandish idea when they hear a real world experience with it.
Yeah, I find it interesting as a homeopath, even, that cancer, the miasm, is a need to control, when really mm-hmm. we live in a world where we can't control anything. We need to get in the flow and go with it. So we're all taught, and I love how you talk about how in childhood, we can be betrayed in a way and let down, and therefore we don't trust. And mm-hmm. it's a matter of trusting our innate wisdom and our connection to something more. So I love what you're talking about. Love it.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's interesting what you said about control, because, you know, being a type A control freak, that was what I tried to do with my healing. Like, oh, if I just do more of something, right? If I just learn more of something, I do more of something, that will work. If I can control this aspect, if I can create this environment that's safer for myself. But control, again, is just another protection. It just keeps you safe, right? And again, you can't control anything but your own behavior, but we think that we can. We like to think that we can because it provides safety. And so my somatic coach, who I work with, I've worked with for 2 years, she'll say to me all the time, like, be uncomfortable in the uncertainty, because that's all that there is uncertainty and change. And we don't fully grasp that because we're always trying to control. We're always trying to create something malleable that we can manipulate. And in doing that in life, but also in healing, it clouds your judgment. It creates blinders so that you can't actually see the wisdom that exists. You can't be open to doing something different, right? So like my approach is back to basics. When I talk to people about it, I say it's a back to basics approach. It's not eschewing technology or, you know, indoor plumbing, but it's being aware. It's this mindfulness rather than mindset, because mindset is not the end all be all in healing. Like people, you know, for many, many years, I heard people say, change your thoughts and that will change your position. That will change your situation. It doesn't. Because again, if you're still just doing it in your brain in a manic healing way, and you're not actually embodying it in the physical and spiritual aspects of your body, which incorporates emotional, mental, spiritual, physical, and energetic, you cannot actually incorporate it fully. And so it won't land, and your body will know and will call bullshit. It'll say, I know you don't believe this affirmation you're saying. I know you don't believe this new thought you're trying to create. So yes, your thoughts have energy. They are extremely powerful. However, the thoughts are expressed from the message from the body first. So the brain is only part of the body. It is not actually the be-all, end-all that we think it is. The real intelligence and wisdom relies inside the body. So the body tells you if you're thirsty, and then you have a thought, oh, I'm thirsty. The body tells you, this is a sensation that's coming up. Oh, I feel pain in my left knee. So it's not coming from the brain first. The wisdom is coming from the body. But because we're taught not to trust the body, we have such dissonance with surrendering that part of the mind, letting the mind rest. And this is why I incorporate breath work into every session I do with people. Because for me, when I fully allowed breath work to occur in my life, I had already been doing it for 5 or 6 or 7 years prior, but I was using it as a way to escape from my physical body, not realizing that's what I was doing. But I was like, I'm doing this thing. Why is it not working? And it was only when I started to do it, incorporating all parts of myself, the physical, the mental, emotional, the spiritual, the energetic, that things started to shift. And ideas that I had been trying to implement and embody for years started to integrate. And I was like, oh, that's different. I wonder what changed. I actually felt safe to be in my physical body. So it took me to 39 years old, 38, 39 years old to feel safe in my physical body again. You know, from age 5 to 38, 39, that's a long time to not be in the physical body. And so when you're doing mindset work and you're like, I've been doing this mindset work, or I'm trying to rewire my brain with neuroplasticity and it's not working, it's because you're not bringing all parts of it along. And again, when this is not discussed, which most mindset coaches do not discuss this, you're missing that. It's like a disconnect, right? There's a gap and there's no bridge to get to the other side of the road. You have to jump and trust that it's going to appear, or you have to figure out how to make the bridge yourself. And so for me and for my clients, breathwork is that bridge, because it's something that is not new. You've been breathing since birth, and it's something that anybody can do, and it's free. You don't have to go anywhere to do it. You don't have to pay anybody to know how to breathe. But in our society, we don't intentionally breathe. We hold our breath. We breathe very shallowly because we don't want to feel our emotions. We don't want to sense our sensations. We're scared of it. We think it's going to be really painful. But actually, it's the reverse, that if you take the time to sit with what comes up, it's at most 90 seconds. And then the body is built to integrate when it runs its processes. It knows exactly what it can release, and it knows exactly how to integrate it so that you can begin to heal. And you can't heal unless you're in the physical body. So all these things I had done, manic healing for 10 years, I was like, why is this not working? Why am I, you know, I did neuroplasticity for 2 years. I did plant medicine. I did energy medicine. I did 1,001 other things. Why did I get to this plateau and I could not achieve a deeper sense of healing? It was because I still wasn't in the physical body. I wasn't trusting my intuition. I wasn't connecting all parts of myself. I was still leaving them separate. But in order for the system to heal collectively, everything needs to be integrated. Everything needs to be processed in the body's time and place. So this means there's no agenda. There's no agenda in breathwork. We don't go and say, we're going to talk about what happened at age 5. There's no telling of a story like in talk therapy. We just allow the mind to rest and the body's intelligence to take over. And in that intelligence, you switch from a fight or flight state where you're stressed out all the time, 24/7, into a healing capacity where you can allow to move the stuck energy. You can allow to move the trapped emotions. You can allow to move the betrayals from childhood, they inherited betrayals because everything is energy. So if it wasn't healed by the prior generations, it's passed down to you. And if you don't heal it, you pass down to future generations. And when you don't stop to feel your emotions or sensations, you create trapped energy. So you think you're helping yourself by not feeling these things, but actually you're creating you're creating what you're going to have to deal with in 10 years, 5 years, 7 years. You're creating the chronic pain, the chronic disease state, the additional suffering, the heavy burden by not actually allowing the body to do what it was processed to do.
Mm. So just to go into what you're saying about breath work, it's the pause button. It's being in the moment and listening to what comes up and what our body is trying to tell us.
Yeah. Without judgment, without shame, without blame. And that's hard to do because you're human. But the more that you do it, the more you can allow that to happen. And again, there's no agenda. We don't say this is what happened at age 7. There's no storytelling. There are no rules. You get to move if you want to move. You can yell, you can scream, you can shake, you can rock, you can dance. You know, I teach people how to do havening, which is self-soothing. So if things come up, you know that you're in a safe space. If someone has your back, they're supporting you, and you don't have to walk it alone. That's the most important part with healing is we think we can do it all by ourselves. And me, I thought I could do it all by myself. I did everything on my own because I couldn't trust anybody else to hold space for me because I had been betrayed, because I hadn't been seen, I hadn't been heard, I hadn't been believed for so long that it was really hard for me to allow someone else to hold space for me. So I know exactly what that feels like because I've been there, I've done it, and I've gone to the other side. That doesn't mean that I'm perfect and nothing happens to me. I'm still a human just like you, right? I may have a bit more skills, but it doesn't mean that I'm not, that I'm bulletproof because I'm not, I'm human. So things still bother me, but it's not to the same degree. It's not to the same intensity. My body, I now trust it that the wisdom it's giving me is for a reason. The messages it's telling me is for a reason. Like today, I didn't feel like doing anything. It's been snowing for 12 hours. I like shoveled so the dogs could get out. And I was like, all right, I'm just going to read some books today. I'm really not going to do anything. I don't want to do that. And normally I would push through and be like, no, I really should, you know, like pitch podcasts, or I should finish writing this journal. Or no, I just chose not to do it because my body was like, I'm not going to do it. And that's the thing. The more we fight and resist, the harder we make it on ourselves because we feel like nothing worthwhile comes easy. And healing is not easy, but it can be very simple. And as humans, we overcomplicate it. And that's why I use breath, because it's so simple, right? It's not like sitting on the floor, not moving like meditation with all these rules or yoga where you have to do the pose. No, you could just sit there and breathe. You can lay down and breathe. If you fall asleep, great. That's what you needed. If you need to yell, great. That's what you needed. If you want to dance, great. That's what you needed. It's freedom of expression. It's allowing to be what needs to be expressed, what needs to come through without judgment. Like, hey, this is where I'm at today. This is what I need. And appreciating and being grateful to the intelligence that the body has to let you do that, to let it be expressed, to let it be released so that it doesn't create trapped energy.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I have given the talk about breath work, and just so few take it up because we're programmed to believe that it's so much more complicated than that, that that can't work, right?
I know.
And so it's frustrating.
You're preaching to the choir. I know.
Yeah.
When I talk to clients, I tell them things and they're like, that's so simple. I'm like, right. But it doesn't mean it's wrong. Right. You're not used to that. But yeah. It doesn't need to be complicated.
Yeah. And I think we just need to talk about that, right? Because we have been so programmed to think whatever it is, it needs to be complicated and it needs to be, you know, something coming down the pipe from the white coats. So breathwork was part of your healing. And what came out of that? Obviously, you used your intuition, found some things that really worked for you that led you to a whole new place.
So discoveries are still keep coming. And that's what I love about breathwork is that it allows me to connect to my intuition and strengthen that relationship, but also to trust in something that I cannot see. So a lot of times when I do breath, I'll get like downloads of, oh, make this new herbal recipe for a tea blend or an herbal blend or something, or write your newsletter on this topic, or reach out to this person and tell them this thing, or, you know, whatever I need to do that day. I'll just receive these downloads and I'm like, oh, breathwork, it's so cool, you know? And so it's different every day in that what it can look like. It doesn't need to look the same way every day. For me, my breathwork, it does kind of look the same way every day because that's what feels good to me. So I lay down when I do it. I, you know, have all these different playlists I've created. And I typically just do a really easy breath of in through the nose and out through the mouth. That's what my body likes. And there is no pressure to do like William Hof breathing. Like that's not what everybody needs, because it can be very activating. And actually, people have had trauma. You don't want activation, because that, if you're not prepared to deal with it and you're not being held with by someone who's trauma informed, you actually can create more problems. And that's what was happening when I was doing breath work. You know, a decade ago, I was doing Kundalini yoga, and Kundalini yoga is extremely hardcore, and it's all about activating breath and really pushing your body to the limits. And it didn't feel good to me, but I thought that I was helping myself, but it wasn't. And so the people who were leading me were not trauma informed, right? So like the thing is, we think we're doing these things for ourselves and we want to feel something because that proves that it works. But I don't always feel something and I know it works because I can see the end game, right? So it's about celebrating the small wins. It's about, again, questioning, just because it's simple, does that mean it's wrong, right? And the courage to do something different from everybody else, the courage to be radical, to do something different than everybody else is doing, to be okay with being the black sheep, right? Like, I'm completely okay with it now. I wear it proudly that I don't do what everybody else does. And it no longer bothers me because it feels good. I no longer have that cognitive dissonance. Like, I'm aligned now. Whatever I say, I believe, and I actually do. It's not where I'm on this, I'm saying one thing and I do exactly something different. There is no more dissonance. I have aligned with my true purpose and I honor the wisdom that exists there. And I think if more people could do that, if they could find a way in, whether it's breathwork or if it's something else, that it will allow for greater healing for everybody.
Yeah.
And a much calmer, more peaceful world for us to live in.
Right. And it does come in the quiet moments. Like, the, you know, we often want to manifest health and well-being and affluence in our lives, but we're doing it, like you say, in a very active way instead of listening to our inner wisdom.
Yeah. It's about getting quiet. Like you said, it's about quieting the noise, the external and the internal. So whether that's the monkey mind, whether that's false beliefs, whether that's, you know, the doubts, finding a way to quiet that, whether you write it all out and you rip it up and you release it, whether you do it through breath work and you just breathe out whatever that is that's holding you back. And the freedom to not do what everybody else is doing, like to toot your own horn, whatever that looks like, to not be afraid to be different. Because we are all unique and we've all had unique and different experiences that have made us who we are today. And there is no cookie cutter protocol. There is no one size fits all t-shirt. So if you keep looking for that, you're never going to find it. And you're going to be on that merry-go-round to nowhere for another decade, right? Until you face facts of like, huh, what would happen if I tried something different? Like, really sit down with that. Like, what would happen if I tried something different? What could be the worst case scenario? I didn't even do that. I just was like, what do I have to lose? And I'm just going to do this thing. And if it works out, great. If it doesn't, I've made my peace with it. Because I had exhausted everything else. I had done everything the doctor said. I was dying because of the medication. And I was dying inside because I couldn't go on like that anymore. There was no quality of life. And so what is your health worth to you? What is your peace of mind worth to you? And just sit with that and see where that takes you.
Right. And the true part spark comes in realizing our unique purpose for being here. Mm-hmm. And that alone, just to get on board with that, is very exciting and life-giving.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So that's the message, isn't it? Because there's no recipe. There's mm-hmm. no, it's unique for everyone. And it's sitting in those quiet moments and finding the path to your own health and your own purpose. And that's your message.
Yeah. I mean, my message, the mantra I say all the time is you get to choose what's best for you. Mm-hmm. You get to choose what's best for you. Not me, not Big Pharma, the doctor, not your parents, not your spouse, not your friends. You get to choose. It's taking that responsibility for yourself, right? So this people don't like to hear this, and I didn't either. Like, this situation is not happening to you. It's happening for you. And this is an opportunity for you to take the responsibility to make the change. Mm-hmm. However small that may be, the first small step. And that's the approach that I do with people. It's very small steps. And we celebrate the small wins. And it's back to basics. And it's a unique individual method for each person, because each person has different needs. And we don't have an agenda. And there is, you know, there is no one size fits all t-shirt. And there is no magic pill. It's just showing up and creating that bond with the body to understand what the messages are trying to tell you.
Yes. And then realizing each small step is mm-hmm. more glorious and beautiful than we, you know, give it credit usually.
Yeah. And they add up to big wins, right? So like, they may seem really small on their own, but when you look back, you can see how far you've come, right? Like, if I even look back 5 years ago, I'm like, wow, I came a really long time. If I even look back a year ago, I'm like, wow, I wrote my first book and didn't think I could do it, but I did it. And it's with the editor now. And I'm like, that was a huge thing. And I sat with that. I sat with that for a while because, you know, I didn't write it all at once. It took me like 6 months. And it really took longer than that because I stopped and started it a bunch of times. That's healing too. It's a stop and a start. It's a reevaluate. It's a sitting in silence with what needs to come up, what needs to come through. It's allowing curiosity. And it's allowing you to build that connection back to yourself so that you get to choose what's best for you.
Yeah. Beautiful, Amy. Love it. How do people get more of you or what you're teaching or your book?
Yeah. So they can grab the free gift, which is a free guided breath session that we'll include in the show notes. And then they can check me out at mindbodyspiritbreath.com.
Perfect. So yes, we'll get that in the show notes and I'll get your website as well. And what a beautiful message, Amy. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jane.
If you've enjoyed the information in this episode, share it with someone you care about and know will benefit. There's one thing for certain. Meltdowns are inevitable. Let's move into mastery together. In the show notes, you'll find my Linktree, which has links to many of the most popular platforms. You'll also find links to connect to the featured guest, webpage, and social media. Thanks again for being committed to mastery. Change in this world really starts within each of us.